Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
A lot of us got a bit of a shock a couple of days ago when we saw that government may be expecting us as business and individuals to contribute to a national social security fund. Helping us to make sense of this is Dr. Peter Bauer. He's an economist from the University of Johannesburg. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Yes, good afternoon.
Doctor, firstly, what is the National Security Fund?
So basically what we're planning to do is to apply an additional taxation to employees, working people in South Africa, to contribute towards a kind of compulsory retirement fund that will be then issued to people once they have ended their working career or gone into pension.
So this National Social Security Fund, is it a collective fund? Will we all be contributing and getting the same out, or will it be an individual calculation of sorts what we'll get paid at a later stage?
Okay, so it's going to be what I can see from the proposed green paper in the moment is that it appears to be a sort of a combination between the two. On the one side, you have your final sort of income will be contributed towards the contributions that you'll be able to draw from it, as well as how many years you've actually been employed. Now, the big challenge with this one is that, firstly, in South Africa, our unemployment rate is extremely high. We're sitting at approximately 32% official. And if we were to expand that a little bit, we're looking at approximately 40-odd%. That's one in two people in South Africa are sitting at unemployment. Now, if we were to take the proposed system and increase the taxation on the existing workers that are actually in the system, what will mean is that household income will actually be less for those who are actually contributing already towards the existing South African tax base. Now, this has a number of implications. The first one is, of course, households have less income, okay, which means they're going to try and negotiate for higher wages. If the high negotiate for higher wages are successful, then they will be able to draw greater salaries from producers. Producers are going to see this as an increase in production costs, and it's going to have an inflationary impact overall on the economy. On the other side of the equation, we are looking at within the household until they are able to renegotiate that additional tax amount. And we're looking at an average of about $2,500 per worker, say, per month on approximate salaries. You would be looking at a situation where households are going to have to redistribute their incomes within the household. So we're going to be taking money away from certain factors, such as, for example, we'll be putting money into education or to schooling or into our homes, and we'll be putting that into the tax fund. So households are already under huge pressure. If you take a look at household savings, we're looking at only about 0.7% given their current income. Now you take an additional tax to pay for the national security, which means that 0.7% is going to literally not be there. Households are not going to have any more savings. And without the savings, we're not going to have any more investment. And then on top of that, we're looking at your debt. Your average household debt to income is approximately 70-odd%. So it's going to simply contribute as well to the debt burden within households.
Unbelievable that during this time of economic downturn and a pandemic that this is even being discussed. So we understand the plight of the majority of South Africans, but what about those individuals who are working, just making it, but already contribute to either a pension, provident fund, or have an RA in place? Are they also going to be taxed if this gets the green light?
The way I see it in the moment is more so affecting the people who already have some form of income or insurance plan, because what is actually happening to them is they're relying on that additional income to put it into policies of their choice. Now we have a state coming along and saying, no, you don't have the choice where you put your money anymore. That choice will be set by government. So government's going to collect this additional funds. And I kind of see where it's coming from. On the one side, there's some positive things. Like, for example, government doesn't have the funding in order to support the social security grant that we have in existence. It's costing government a huge amount of money. Our debt burden to GDP is extremely high. And we're not generating enough income through tax base because we are simply sitting with a very high unemployment problem. So we want to try and contribute towards the social security fund by taking existing employees and we want to tax them additionally. Now, this is going to lead to all kinds of problems. The one of them being, of course, you know, what is the incentive for us to continue working when another chunk of my income gets taken away from households that are already extremely burdened by the system? But on the private sector, I think, you know, if you don't, the competition is one of the biggest aspects. It's like, I would like to choose where I would like to put my money into in form of a pension. And government saying, no, you don't need to worry about that. We will take care of all of that for you. And so what kind of return do I get? And the next thing is, does everybody then benefit in the same way? So I've been saving for years and years and years to contribute, but somebody who's just got a job now for the last 6 months, he's now going to get the same pension as I have, but I've been working for a lot longer than him. So the redistribution factor is also going to be a little bit skewed.
Doctor, thank you for helping us make a little bit of sense of this proposed National Social Security Fund. I hope you'll be joining us again in the very near future so we can discuss the progress of this green paper. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you very much for inviting me.